calling me Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry.
Is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name buried in cheers and applause? Probably not. War. We just love war, don't we? There's never been a moment of peace in the history of the world. A couple of cavemen were smashing each other's heads in with rocks. Since then, it's been on. It's like lightning. There's never a time when some electrical storm somewhere isn't throwing bolts with enough juice to run your house for a year. There's always a war on. And if there isn't an official war, with uniforms and artillery and flags and body bags, we'll fucking invent one. War on drugs, war on poverty, war on climate change, war on crime, war on pollution, the current war on fascism, war on women. They all get lots of attention. But what about the war on men? Which, if you look closer, is not really a war on men, it's a war on males of any age, even small kids. It's not imaginary, it's real. And I'll tell you how real in a little bit. A question I'm often asked by guys soon to become dads is, what's the toughest thing about fatherhood? And it's really not the kid. Because the moment you see your kid, suddenly that kid becomes the most important thing in your life, including you. So when you feel that way about someone, the concept of tough becomes moot. I'm very glad both my kids are girls. If I had a son, I'd be worried, really worried. Because males are the new underclass. Anybody who refutes that isn't paying attention. There is endless documentation. Here are a few quick stats to ponder. Men pay 97% of alimony, comprise 93% of work fatalities, lose custody in 84% of divorces, represent 80% of suicides, are 165% more likely to be convicted of a crime than women, and women's cancers get 15 times the funding that men's do. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. And that's just men. What about boys? Why am I talking about this? Because of a news story I saw recently about a t-shirt or a pajama top and this shitstorm around this t-shirt because it said, boys will be boys. And a bunch of assholes found those words offensive. The biggest asshole happened to be an Australian female. Hey, question. Why are women rarely referred to as assholes? Why is that? Seems like only guys are called assholes. So in the interest of sexual equality, we never say gender here, we're going to call an asshole, whether male or female. If they can ban a t-shirt that says boys will be boys, how about they replace it with one that says, women can be assholes too? Wonder how well that would sell. The asshole was in a department store and saw the shirt and found it offensive. She claims that the phrase is a blanket excuse for unacceptable male behavior. What behavior would that be? Running around like a little kid, playing in the dirt, maybe forming a hand in the shape of a pistol and saying, bang, bang. According to this asshole, let's see, what's her name? Oh, yeah, her name is Bridie Harris. Bridie saw the shirt and then posted this on the manufacturer's Facebook page.
Boys won't be boys. Boys will be held accountable for their actions.
Boys won't be boys. What the fuck does that even mean? If they won't be boys, what will they be? Tuna fish? Avocado? What a moronic statement. Next,
Boys will be held accountable for their actions.
Ooh, spoken like an authoritarian. Bridie's laying it down. She's the big boss lady, and what she says goes. Right up her ass. Because boys are children, aren't they? Maybe not to Bridie. If they've got testicles and a penis, they're accountable. Same as an adult man. Oh, and the manufacturer, an outfit called Peter Alexander, immediately caved and pulled his shirt. Wow. This Peter Alexander company, their specialty is pajamas, or as they spell it, pyjamas. Which it always seems with these insane stories, there's an angle of irony. Bridie would no doubt be much happier in this life if every boy were a pajama boy or a soy boy. See, Bridie thinks she's some kind of psychic, that she can look at a silly, ancient saying with her omniscient intellect and extract a subliminal message, just like that other moron hag Tipper Gore tried to do with rock and roll lyrics, which I got into in episode 61. Check that out. It's called Full Auto on Frauds. Who the fuck wears pajamas or pyjamas? I've wondered about that all my life. I only see them in TV. When I was a small kid, somebody gave me pajamas. I didn't have them on for more than an hour. Maybe if you sleep like a corpse, they're okay. But if you move around, it's just like going to bed fully dressed. Goddamn uncomfortable. I always liked Hugh Hefner, except for his omnipresent sleepwear. The pajamas and smoking jacket bit. I suppose that was part of his brand. Hugh was always ready for sex, but to me, pajamas and robes say hospital patient and nothing else. I once met Hef, just a fast handshake at a big party in L.A. He was shorter than I'd imagined, and he had four or five broads with him. If there was a care and content tag on them, it would have indicated that no less than 10% of their bodies was comprised of man-made materials, and to dry clean only. And their faces, oh, makeup applied with a trowel. Garish, weird, not sexy. The whole Hefner thing was just a big branding gambit. The Playboy empire was founded on this nutty construct that is utterly impossible to sustain. Because while the Playboy lifestyle, finger quotes, has great appeal for men, the women participate only as an accommodation. After a while, most women want babies, and babies and orgies don't mix very well. Which I suppose is why Hef had a couple of brief marriages, but ultimately had to resort to paid companions, which were rotated out after 2 or 3 years. It was a lot like a pro sports franchise, I guess. Wonder why he never seized on that as a marketing gimmick. Team Hef, with trading cards and ball caps and jerseys and high-heeled cleats and numbers. He could have posted stats for them, what their specialties were in bed, how many hits, doubles, triples, home runs, RBIs, and of course, there would be no strikeouts, I'd imagine. They could have had an all-star team. Or how about Old Timers Day? Imagine the early playmates hobbling onto the field on canes and walkers or rolling out on wheelchairs.
There she is, ladies and gentlemen, Miss August 1968. Wheeling her onto the field is Miss October, 1987.
Maybe over the pitching mound is a stage with a stripper's pole. Miss October wheels Miss August up the ramp to the stage and places the chair next to the pole. Miss August 68 reaches for the pole with a gnarled, arthritic hand but just can't make it, so she hooks it with her cane, and Miss October pushes her chair around a few revolutions for a victory spin, just for old time's sake.
And the crowd goes wild!
was a time when being a member of the Playboy Club was considered cool. Even James Bond was a member. They flashed his card in Diamonds Are Forever. When did that become uncool? Maybe that was the moment the war on men began. The Playboy lifestyle offered sex without commitment or consequences, and that was catnip to millions of guys. People said Playboy was porn. Playboy said it was art, and they certainly did publish an amazing roster of world-class writers over the years. Now there's this limitless cascade of online porn 24/7, and it is pure porn. Nobody is wrapping it in short stories or exposés or essays. Why was Playboy so hated? But nobody seems to mind digital porn for porn's sake. I don't get that. I knew a guy who worked for Playboy magazine, and just as with many things in life, the reality fell way short of the fantasy. Since Hefner kept vampire hours, he would frequently decide to have meetings at 2 or 3 a.m. How convenient. Oh, and at those famed parties, staffers were there to ensure guests and advertisers had a good time, hands off the flesh, synthetic or otherwise. But back to the war on men, which is a de facto war on males, replete with words co-opted for the movement, like the so-called patriarchy. That patriarchy gets less consideration than dogs. In many places, the practice of cropping dogs' ears and docking their tails has been outlawed. They do it a lot on boxers and Dobermans, right? I don't know why these assholes do it. It's a cosmetic thing. Although they've found out that chopping a dog's tail to a stub does fuck him up in a myriad of ways. And the ear thing is just as stupid. The conceit of that practice is just off the charts. Some fuckball says to him or herself, "I'm going to take this puppy who comes into the world in natural perfection and reshape it the way I think it should look, because I know better than nature or God or whatever you want to call it." And every year in these United States, millions of baby boys are genitally mutilated. But they call it circumcision. Why the disparity in terms? If somebody takes a knife to a female's genitals, that's mutilation. But chop a male's, oh, that's just circumcision. And all these clowns with their facts and figures, why it's healthier, are full of shit. There are just as many studies and facts and figures that refute their claims. Genital mutilation. But nobody's calling it that because it's being done to boys. And assholes like Bridie Harris want to be damn sure boys are held accountable for something. At least their dicks. A final word on this story. Why the fuck didn't Peter Alexander just say, "Hey, no problem, Bridie. You don't like this shirt? Don't buy this shirt." I hope Peter Alexander goes out of business. Who the fuck needs pajamas anyway? And right on the heels of this battle in the war on men comes another from up Wyoming way. Next on the endangered male subspecies list, cowboys. It makes perfect sense, right? Rough guys, often carry guns, self-reliant, not into sharing their feelings. Individuals, not members of a hive. Well, better just round them up and gas them. Right, ladies? Whoops, my mistake. They are rarely, if ever, ladies. Usually, they're just angry, frustrated hags and bags. So Wyoming University paid some ad agency $500,000 to come up with a marketing slogan. The world needs more cowboys. And a few assets lose their shit over it, claiming the term cowboy is racist and sexist. Now, when I first saw the story, I felt kind of bad for Wyoming U. Then when I looked a little closer, I realized they deserve all the shit they're getting and more, because their little slogan, which is certainly innocuous and semi-cute, the slogan was written with a caveat, and here it is, quote, This is not a campaign to reinforce regressive stereotypes from the pop cultural past. This is a campaign to rewrite them. Unquote. So this jackhole of a college, whose logo and mascot is a cowboy, says, "We need more cowboys," but in the same breath, takes a steaming shit all over cowboys, calling them regressives and a stereotype. Well, they better get their candy asses in gear with the redesign. I wish the fuck I could draw, I can't. But there are a number of listeners who are enormously talented artists and have sent me kick-ass renderings of, mostly me. So if any of you would like to take a stab at this, please do. I'll post it on the show page and all over Twitter and Facebook, and be sure to sign your name to it in case it goes viral. So what does their inclusive, non-sexist cowboy look like, I can respect someone who calls aside and goes for it, like Caitlyn Jenner. I really do, and I mean that without an iota of sarcasm. So it can't be a girl in the saddle, or even a trans girl like Caitlyn. I'm seeing, maybe that old character from Saturday Night Live, Pat. Remember Pat? Nobody ever figured out if it was Patrick or Patricia. So let's get Pat in the saddle and get rid of that fucking Stetson. There's only one choice for headgear. A pussy hat. Forget the bandana at the throat. How about a velvet choker with a cameo of Che? Yeah, that's it. Che fucking Guevara. Then some chaps, buttless of course, and pantsless, so we can see lots of doughy flesh jiggling around, showing no sexual repression. Can't have a gun, but why not a holster? And I know just what to put in there instead of a Colt. A nice warm bottle of quick draw soy milk. Oh, and forget the Tony Lama boots. Our non-regressive, non-offensive, non-sexist, non-racist cow person will wear, what else? Birkenstocks. Not real good in the stirrups, but fuck it. One of those screaming loudest about the cowboy slogan is a tool named Donal O'Toole. You can't make this shit up. Donal, who is Faculty Senate President. Faculty Senate President? Look at how these jerks operate. They can never, ever heap enough titles on themselves. This fuckball O'Toole has degrees out the ass in veterinary science, but it's just not enough. Donal has to have a political title, too. President of the Senate. Ooh, impressive. Why the fuck does a faculty need a Senate? Just teach the goddamn courses and then go pick your nose in private. And don't flick the snots on the wall. Donal O'Toole says, quote, "It's a sexist slogan," and says cowboys are viewed elsewhere as someone who takes risks and can sometimes be a knucklehead. Okay, gotcha. We certainly don't want to admire anyone who takes risks. Gotta be safe. Right, Cupcake? I'm looking at his or her picture right now, and I could not tell you what Donal's sex is. We never say gender here. So maybe Donal should be our model for the politically corrected cow person in the campaign. Now, when you do any Googling, or as I prefer, duckduckgo.com, which does not track or store your searches, be sure to plug in Donal O'Toole Wyoming University, because incredibly, there is another Donal O'Toole who is an artist and a damn good one in Santa Fe, and that dude appears to be a cowboy. He looks like the Marlboro Man. What are the odds? Maybe there's a reality series in there. The two Donals. Maybe they could compete in a rodeo. That'd be fun, huh? So there you have it. From womb to tomb, they have got it in for men. If they're not mutilating their baby dicks, they're taking the greatest of all American icons and reconstituting it to their liking. Where do these assholes come from? Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always good to be with you. We've got a bonus episode coming up soon. Do you like magic? Of course you do. And every magic trick is usually head slap simple once the secret is revealed. But I was witness to a feat of magic that a number of professional magicians have been powerless to explain. It was really cool. And I'll tell you the story, and you can judge for yourself. Come back and hang with us this Sunday for Sinner Sunday. Last episode, it was weaponized Jesus. This time, we're taking it to the limit, so don't miss it. Drop me a line at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. Check out the homepage at thatlarryshow.com and follow the show on Facebook and Twitter, where things sometimes get intense. Just plug That Larry Show into the search bar. You'll find us. So if you are male or know anyone who is, be aware that you are in the crosshairs of some major league assholes of both sexes who want you neutralized, preferably by neutering. Keep your pistols cocked and your powder dry, and take no shit.